let me know if you need to clap or if you need to laugh at yourself or anything like that along that line. The three-part clap.
That's right.
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay. Nice.
That better?
Yes, that was much better.
Okay,
that's
good.
Much better. You didn't even hit the mic on that one.
That's right. That was less clumsy.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's very good to see you, Mark.
Well, I thank you.
Your beer's looking lovely, as always.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's right about at the point where I almost just want it to be. You know, maybe you know how sometimes you get a haircut?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shucks, it's a little shorter than I want it to be. But you say, oh, 2 weeks will be good.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Or, oh, wow, they really took too much off.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at 5 months before it grows back. I didn't think it would be that short.
Yeah, well, you got it cut less.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm about to the point where I want to be.
So, yeah, it was interesting because to me, I wouldn't say it was that short. But.
Oh, in comparison, yeah.
In comparison. You. And also, I recognize previous Mark's face.
Yeah.
When you got that trim, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember what Mark's cheeks look like and kind of that lower. Yeah, I was like, I see that version of Mark again.
Yep.
And that's very interesting. Like, you're a different Mark now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the barber, when he did it, you know, because it's like, okay, I'm going to have this professionally done. I'm going to go to a guy.
Yeah.
So a guy would understand.
And
it's like, you know, so I trusted him. It's like, I'm not going back to that barber again. I don't trust him anymore. He says, I took the wolfie off for you. It's like, well, I kind of wanted a little wolfie.
Get him back. Exactly. Glue it back on. Exactly.
But it's good now. Yeah. I'm fine with it. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. I'm just going to turn you up a little.
Okay.
So you go right ahead.
Yeah, of course. You do whatever you need to do. That's
what comes out of my ears. That's why I did it wrong before.
Okay, that makes sense.
There, that sounds... Keep
is that
talking.
Better? Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Is Wolfie still there?
Is Wolfie still here?
Is it too loud now?
I'm going to turn this back up. Yeah, we're good. Does that work for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You also were in a relaxed state.
I was. I mean, I thought
you could totally be relaxed.
Yeah, I thought my mic was still in the same spot, but
yeah.
I am relaxed. When I do how I see it, that's the beauty of this podcast.
That's right.
We don't take ourselves too seriously.
That's right.
In this process of how I see it. So
sometimes we laugh at ourselves, which, you know.
Yeah.
That's a callback to, I guess, last week's episode.
Sometimes we laugh at each other even, is even more fun.
That's right. Especially when you do something really dumb.
Yes.
Then we just, no, I'm just kidding.
I try.
I can't say I remember you doing something really dumb, Mark. So.
Well, not necessarily on mic, you know, and you're limited. You know, it's only audio. You can only make audio mistakes,
right, really.
Right. You know, you could make a lot of visual mistakes and nobody would ever even know it on the podcast.
I can't remember you doing that either. So,
well,
just saying.
Well, fair enough.
But I'm glad you're relaxed. That's the point.
Yeah.
And speaking of relaxed.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
Fire away.
About this vision that you and Chris have. And... You know, before we get too deep, I definitely want to speak to, you know, you were sort of mentioning this is something you wouldn't want to speak on without Chris.
I gotcha.
There's this desire that it's a shared vision. So I'm going to just kind of put that out there and say to the listener, like, hey, just so you know, Mark would like, you know, Chris to be involved in this discussion, and we will.
Yeah.
We'll get her in here, and we'll continue have a part two about it. But
yeah, and I think at that point, at this moment, I am speaking for us to the best of my ability, in that process. Yeah. And granted, yeah.
This is the legal disclaimer.
Yes.
Red tape.
At that point, you know, we can have another discussion and, you know, yeah. Chris can definitely. Well,
it'd be even more fun. Yeah. It would be to, yeah. like for you to say some things wrong, not take ourselves too seriously, and then get Chris in here and go, well, here's how we really think about that.
Or this whatever. Is, that's not quite what I had in mind right. would be how right. that would discussion. Right. I didn't think about it quite like that. Yeah. So yeah, by all means, ask away.
Yeah.
It's all
so
good.
What is this project, this vision you guys have for this? I don't even know what to call it. So you tell me what to call okay. it, first of all.
That's okay. It's a vision.
It's a vision.
That's and like you said, that's I'm still developing yeah. the vision. Don't rush me.
It's okay. You're relaxed. You got your arms up. So.
But yeah, I'm going to pull them back down because I'm starting to lose blood flow. But it is a vision. And we have basically purchased property. You know, it's been a process. And, you know, those that know us will know, you know, we've been renovating an old farmhouse. And, yep. you know, there was some fields and acreage and, you know, and yeah, this is good. This is where the visual part comes in. Because once I start going there, you know, our audience may not necessarily see the tears, but, you know, they're yeah. kind of part of, it's part of that vision. Being able to recognize that, there is a desire for me. Early on, I just kind of had a desire for, you know, like a recreational property, a place to go. Because for me,
and for yourself,
no, for us yeah. as a family,
gotcha.
You know, having kids and, you know, and ultimately grandkids, you know, being able to have a place, you know, that you can kind of come and retreat. And I think, you know, we've probably talked about it before. I feel very passionately that, you know, our routine Sunday morning church isn't designed necessarily for men. Hmm. You know, I think, you know, the worship songs and granted, there would be some that, you know, I think when we're in the creation, I think we can experience God in a way that we can't when we're in the church building, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's always been kind of the way I was wired.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to, yeah, I think it's part of the wild at heart, if you will, John Eldredge yeah. stuff, to where I think Adam was created outside the garden. So there is this desire for, you know, a wildness or, you know, whereas Eve was created in the garden. And I think, you know, that therein lies specific differences between the male female dynamic. So that outside dynamic has always
so
appealed to me.
So women don't like to be outside.
That's not necessarily true.
I'm gonna be that the Chris you angel go, on your shoulder.
That's okay. That's okay. I would dare say women tend to be more comfortable in church, sure. as far as worshiping, singing worship songs, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. That may not necessarily be every guy's
right or
preference.
Every girl's
exactly
yeah, right like. It's not right. a universal rule.
No, I'm not just making kind of anything, you know, yeah, yeah. But it's just an observation yeah. on my part, you know, as I talk with people and that kind of thing. So that began that process but then it developed more into the ability to almost, if you will, create more of a homestead style life. And I, you know, and we've had part of, you know, Mary Beth and, you know, Mary Ellen and, you know, mm-hmm. there's been this journey for us in this process of being able to say, okay, let's get back a little more to more of a localized type food, you know, chain because it, you know, granted right now fuel and everything is, you know, fairly inexpensive. You know, to where we ship things from here to there. But, you know, in the process of things, it's unnatural at times to have certain things all year round that weren't canned or prepared. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's basically being shipped here, even eggs, mm-hmm. you know, in that process. Chickens don't necessarily lay eggs at the same rate all year round. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. But, you know, so we take a chicken and we put it in a, you know, a factory, if you will, a chicken factory, mm-hmm. and we, you know, give them 16 plus hours of light a day, you know, every day and go till they can't lay eggs anymore. And then, you know, that, so it's just,
Then they go to the Tyson factory.
Along that line. But yeah, just being more aware of where our food comes from, being able to kind of come back to, and even very much like you were sharing that on the planting things, you know, that desire to be able to kind of come back in some ways. Not that everybody has to do it all for themselves. That's the part that I'll wrestle with. But out of that, as a marriage and family therapist, that it came this ability to kind of have this homestead, but yet still be able to bring other people in, all to provide an environment for families and couples and marriages, couples and families to be able to kind of step away, not necessarily in a way that says, you know, this is the way you do it, because that's not my desire, but to be able to have a place to be able to step aside and just see that there are other options out there, and to find the ability to have a place where I can come and rest, and, you know, and hopefully our desire would be long-term to be, you know, like a marriage retreat, family retreat opportunity. You know, that's our long-term goal. Yeah. Is to be able to do that. And that out of that has become, you know, kind of the vision of what we call, what Chris and I currently call Sparrow's Rest.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's.
So this is the nonprofit you can send your donations to. Eventually. I think it'll be a thing, right?
We are in the process of being able to work towards setting up those kind of dynamics.
So essentially, you know, Mark and Chris both, they have these unique passions. As he described, homesteading is one of those. And that if you're not familiar with homesteading, so what's interesting is we could zero in on homesteading. And that could be our podcast. And sure. We'd probably be more successful. Like, there's a pretty unique and specific niche there that that serves a lot of people that are very interested in that. I didn't really know that till you started talking about it, till Kelly and Jackson started talking about it, my brother and sister-in-law. Just there's different pockets of people where they're really interested in this lifestyle. And I've definitely gotten more interested in it as a result, though I'm not sure I'll ever be a homesteader.
Sure.
I definitely support the concept and those who are about it. But so that's one of the unique passions that you and Chris share, and to the degree where you'll go to conferences. And that's some of that knowledge you're sharing about, you know, how we get our food and stuff. You've learned through some books you guys have been reading and some conferences you've been attending. And that's really cool. So that's like one half of the equation, right?
Yeah.
Based on what you said so far, maybe there's more parts.
Oh, no, there's definitely more, but
And then the other side is, you know, you and Chris's passion towards marriages and helping marriages restore and become strong and healthy.
Yeah.
You mentioned family a bunch of times, but I've always heard it as more of a marriage retreat. I'm not saying you guys have changed that, but I'm reiterating what I remember of it. But yeah, both of you have a strong passion towards marriages and the family as it pours out of a marriage.
Yes,
I would say.
Exactly.
So it's not that family's not important, but like that marriage is a really most key component to families being healthy, right?
Right.
So let's go
I see that as foundational.
Foundational, yeah. So when I hear you say marriage and a family retreat or whatever, I'd be curious to hear more about that, if that's a shift or not. But
no, it's not a shift necessarily. Initially, part of the vision was even to create, you know, with Chris's influence as a tutor, that kind of thing. Early on, we were even as we were thinking about a nonprofit, we were thinking about, okay, is this, you know, because you have different headings, if you will. So we could be educational or religious or, you know, that kind of thing. So initially early on in the tutoring dynamic, we had thought about, you know, a learning center.
Yeah.
Even, you know, that parents and homeschoolers could come, you know, and I'm not sure we're necessarily, you know, that's not to say that certain dynamics of our future vision couldn't be used in that way, you know, but initially we're not going to necessarily have a big building, you know, that people can necessarily come to and, you know, spend the day learning about one particular thing. But that's, you know, that is a part of that, that evolving, if you will, vision as we, you know, so talk with God.
That could be a potential, sorry.
No, that's okay.
That could be a potential other leg is this educational piece.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, I, ideally from, as you shared, based on who Chris and I are, our desire is to focus on healthy marriages because that creates healthy families, you know? So as we think about it, you know, it's not that, you know, and I think there's something to be said for, it's not just about going away as a couple, you know, and being able to get along, you know, when we're away from all of the pressures of life, you know, because we have to learn how to deal with that in that setting.
That's where the educational component comes in a little bit too, right?
Even for, you know, especially for couples, you know, I mean, to be able to say, okay, it's nice to be able to get away, but what do we notice? What do we notice other than our kids aren't around us, you know, when we're away? And then how do we take some of this, you know, back? And, you know, or even how do we at times, certain times of the year, have our kids with us in such a way that says, we enjoy being a family.
Yeah.
And we're not just, because I think so often it can be about, you know, the male goes to work and the wife may take care of the kids. And, you know, and I think in so many cases, that's what leads to that, you know, empty nest type dynamic of separation where we've just both kind of lived our own lives. You know, we've been shared childcare, if you will. And suddenly we have, there's so many limiting factors when the kids go away that, you know, there's less connectivity.
You like switch from a couple to, like you said, shared childcare and then that gets removed from you and that's all you had,
right? Exactly. After so many years,
You kind of
we lost the relationship,
like identity shifted to that, and then once that's removed, your identity so just again summarizing a little bit, so bringing those kind of passions together into a single entity called Sparrow's Rest, where it involves some homesteading, some educational aspects, maybe about that. Sure. I think education kind of would be sprinkled throughout the idea, right? Whether it's helping couples learn how to. I like what you're saying. It's like, it's not just a place for couples to come honeymoon or go, you know, whatever. It's a place for couples to come and basically grow a little bit in a healthy and safe and inviting place. And it, so sprinkling all these different passions together into this magical potion called Sparrow's Rest, where there's homesteading, there's outdoor stuff, kind of that wild at heart opportunities there for men and women to kind of get out into nature and do some stuff. And
And if I, even as I'm hearing myself and you and I talking so forth, you know, ultimately I think, you know, Sparrow's Rest comes out of, well, it came out of a couple different things. Definitely some discussions with our kids and each other. But in the first Continental Congress type thing, they were having a difficult time getting things to find agreement.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Benjamin Franklin basically has this point where, you know, he comes to and he basically says, you know, gentlemen, you know, basically can an empire rise or fall? But what, you know, God doesn't know about it, for he cares about the sparrow, you know, and if this is what we're doing, does he not care about this in such a way that we should come before him in prayer? You know, should we not, you know, if this is what we're looking to do, should we not come before God and really seek what he has for us through prayer? And that actually began the process of opening, you know, government proceedings or Congress with prayer. And, you know, that process of, you know, in God we trust, if you will, you know, but yet that was a part where the sparrow came to mind, you know, from a scriptural dynamic, you know, because God does care, you know, for the sparrow. And how much more does he care for us mm-hmm. in that process? So, and then being able to recognize that, you know, God cares about us. He cares about having rest for us. He sees, you know, the fact that we're not, he doesn't want us to be hurried and stressed, you know, not that we can't carry some load or deal with some stress. Don't get me wrong there, but you know, he doesn't want that from my perspective to be our lifestyle.
Yeah.
That we're just continually running from here to there, to here, to there, you know, to this, to soccer practice, to work, to, you know, that kind of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. But I think for the here again, kind of coming back from a hierarchical standpoint, for me, and I think Chris even as well, you know, creation is part of what, you know, helps us reflect on who God is.
Yeah.
You know, that process of each day has a new beginning, you know, and his grace and mercies are new every day, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So that's kind of the hierarchy. And mm-hmm. then, you know, where Chris and I are concerned, our passion is definitely for marriages. Mm-hmm. You know, and families, that's what created, I think I've shared that before, you know, that early vision, you know, at a leadership conference we went to, you know, that's what really created our early, you know, vision for what we desire and how we desire to be impacting people. And that's what's continued in this process of, you know, our ability to work with marriages at generations, even mm-hmm. to the point of, you know, Marriage on the Rock, just that passion. So that would be the secondary point. And I think, you know, the homesteading is more about who God has created us to be. You know, not in a comparative way, not that everybody has to do this, but it's just kind of our way to walk with God in what I would define as, you know, just our obedience to being who he would have us to be. You know, it was funny because I guess it's been 2 weeks now, you know, I admit that my beard, so many people, as it was mm-hmm. funny you bring up, because so many people from back where I grew up in Windfall didn't recognize me.
Yeah.
And you know, if I heard what is this, you know, as people are pulling on their chin, you know, visually, what's this, either pulling on my chin or kind of pulling on, if I heard that once, I heard it, you know, 100 times, you know, just based on that. And for me, you know,
have beards in Windfall or what?
Well, I didn't have a beard. Yeah, so therefore I wasn't who, but for me, if you will, if I'm just in my calm frame of mind, you know, I'm not looking to be sarcastic. I'm not looking to say, you know, I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, or anything. You know, I'll say I'm just celebrating my God-given uniqueness.
Yeah.
You know, because for me, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to say, okay, yeah, I happen to be a guy that can grow a beard, and it's part of who God created me to be. So I'm celebrating that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, Sparrow's Rest is our ability, Chris's and my ability to celebrate, to walk in, to live in that celebrated uniqueness mm-hmm. that he's called us to be. And so that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah.
From my perspective, as far as the homesteading, and granted, we've learned a lot, and by all means, you know, it's not that I'm, you know, I suppose depending on that continuum as we talk about it, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, that kind of thing, but I've been more aware of how circumstances have changed, you know, in the process of history, mm-hmm. you know, how, you know, as government has become more involved in food and those kind of things, and there is this, you know, scarcity, if you will, or even what germs, you know, how, because early on we have Pasteur, and here again, I'm going to make this short, but you know, there was two different
Louis Pasteur.
Yes. Whatever. You know, in that process of pasteurization mm-hmm. for milk. Okay. There was two, I forget the other guy's name, but there was two, you know, theories, if you will, that basically saw either germs and bacteria as part of a healthy balance, to where bacteria is good. We have digestive enzymes, that kind of thing, you know, in our bodies, to where when I take an antibiotic, it's good for me to, you know, have yogurt or something to rebuild that so that my, you know, my body can have these digestive enzymes that are working. Cause if all of those bugs that are in my body are dead, my body doesn't work properly. Mm-hmm. You follow me? That yep. kind of thing. So there were two schools, and Pasteur's school won out, that basically said, hey, you know, we're going to kill all these germs because germs are the bad thing.
Yeah.
Whether there was a whole other school that basically says, no, germs aren't the bad thing. Germs out of balance mm-hmm. is the bad thing. So we can keep this homeostasis, this balance, if you will. It's actually healthy. And, you know, even like milk, for example, you know, it has, in its whole sense, it has enzymes that help, you know, break down fats, break down, you know, different things that help us, to where some people who actually drink whole milk find themselves being, who once were lactose intolerant, they drink whole milk and they recognize that their lactose intolerance goes away because those enzymes are in milk that help break those fat particles down that get killed in the pasteurization process.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, there's just,
and yeah, all these little pockets of information to learn, right? Like that kind of,
and historically, there's a reason why it makes sense, but we've lost that awareness over time of where it comes from. And so we're continuing to do something that may not be as beneficial as we think of it when we're recognizing how many dietary issues and food allergies there are, you know, in our...
Yeah.
You think about it that way. So, yeah.
Well, it makes me think of the two Mary Ellens.
Mary Beth and
Mary Beth. Sorry, Mary Beth and Mary Ellen.
Sure.
The two Mary episodes, I should say. but yeah, they both kind of touched on almost the same ideas in different directions, where Mary Ellen talked a lot about food and meat and that kind of thing. Kind of, and then Mary Beth talked a lot about the offenses, right, that you put in your body. And so, like, what different lotions, for example, was one thing she talked about. But yeah, just like there's so much that we don't think about on a regular basis because we just go with the status quo.
Sure.
We use the shampoo at Walmart and we, you know, eat what, you know, McDonald's, and, you know, it's just our life. So it's kind of cool to kind of hear these different perspectives that basically are saying, like, hey, this kind of status quo is messed up in a lot of ways. And it's like, well, of course, it makes sense. You know, obesity is at an all-time high, I think, worldwide.
Sure.
Depression is as well. So,
yeah.
Like, it makes sense that you could go, well, I guess, yeah, the system might be broken in some ways because some things are worse than they were. You know, you could also say some things are better. I think one of the things we talked about in, I think, Mary Ellen's episode, maybe, was just the fact that worldwide hunger is at an all-time low, right? Mm-hmm. So there's trade-offs to this, you know, we're not meant to be shipping crates of food across the planet. Mm-hmm. And yet, worldwide hunger is at an all-time low as a result of this mechanization. And,
sure.
You know, so there's some trade-offs. But anyway, I think it's very interesting to hear about some of those pockets of information, like what you're just describing with milk, you know, and allow me to rethink some things, open my brain again to going, huh, interesting, whole milk, you know, pasteurized, like, I wonder if I can get that somewhere around here, that kind of thing, and kind of thinking through that. I think that's always a good thing, to kind of rethink some of the status quo, and not just accept it as being, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And so that, there's probably some elements of that in Sparrow's Rest, of kind of education, but
and I think
that, or here, is that again, more just influence personally?
I think that I see that, and here again, this may be an area where Chris and I differ. It's not that someone who would come, you know, would be indoctrinated into this, you know, that's not our desire.
Well, if the way you would set it up, though, you could probably have two different kinds of events, right?
Mm.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm here again.
Yeah.
For me personally, that's not necessarily my passion. I mean, I'm happy to have the conversations kind of like you are now. If somebody's saying, well, why do you do this? Or what's that for? Or, you know, I have no issues kind of being able to, you know, have those conversations in a way that is, you know, educational. But it's not that I think everybody has to do what we're doing, you know, and I don't see us in any ways as, you know, as a model of what has to be, of what other people have to do. I just don't, you know, I think, like I shared, it's about us doing what we feel we're led to do based on our God-given, you know, desires and so forth. And
it makes sense. So this, this Sparrow's Rest gives you an opportunity to practice those things on a bigger scale in some degrees, but not necessarily as it's part of the creed or whatever.
Exactly.
That's kind of what you would say. Okay.
Yeah. Ultimately, it is about, you know, creating more health for marriages and family.
And you wouldn't want that to get in the way of that. Essentially, is that what I'm
hearing? That's what you're hearing. And, that you makes know, sense. And I would dare say, you know, okay, healthy marriages. Healthy physically, healthy emotionally, healthy spiritually, you know, healthy, you know, mentally, you know, those. Okay. So then some of these other aspects come into play is how I would see that. What does it take, you know, to create, you know, healthy spirituality, you know, first and foremost, because, you know, I think, and here again, you know, I think culturally, you know, in a lot of cases, we do marry less because marriage has become, you know, more of a civil state. You know, when we think about license, you know, a marriage license, well, we think about it as just being that, you know, but when we really stop and think about it, God ordained or designed marriage. So, you know, these other things are just ways that we have redefined God's marriage. The fact, you know, you need a license or, you know, that kind of thing. But ultimately, you know, God is the one who designed marriage to be what it is, you know, in that process of, you know, a man and a woman, you know, and so therefore, you know, if it's something different than that, then where God's concerned, from my perspective, it's not necessarily a marriage. You can call it a whatever you want to call it, but that's kind of how I see it from that fundamental standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then being able to build that, recognizing that's a spiritual dynamic, you know, as well as it is, you know, having, you know, healthy physical relationship, healthy, you know, emotional relationship, and just being able to grow those kind of things, you know, much like we talked about, you know, sometimes, well, with like we talked about in last week's episode, you know, that I sometimes take myself too seriously. Sometimes it's a pride issue, and marriage in itself, and as you've shared before in your relationship to Megan, you know, marriage is a pride challenging entity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing it God's way.
Yeah.
But if marriage is designed, if you think marriage is something that's designed to get you your way, you know, you're gravely mistaken. And so,
yeah. And so right now, can you briefly describe the state it's in and like?
Yeah, sure. Right now, we have officially, you know, rebuilt the farmhouse and put
The farmhouse was very small and very old. So
Parts of it, yes.
So this, when you got this property, I mean, it was instantly, you know, work, a fixer-upper kind of situation, right? So very let's just start there and say.
What drew us to this property was its setting. It was previously, you know, a farm that time. And the interesting part, another, you know, not tipping our hat to the name, is part of the property was owned by a person by the name of, Chris would correct me if I was wrong, but Mary Sparrow Lane. So, you know, it was, they owned a part of this property. So, you know, that Sparrow's Rest kind of comes into play again. But being able to recognize that as we were talking, we just felt a sense about when we went to look at this property, and we recognized at that time, you know, to purchase, you know, a certain amount of acreage, you know, in North Carolina, a lot of acreages, you know, timber or, you know, pine trees, you have to, you know, and this property just seemed to be, you know, saying, okay, yeah, I'm already developed to a certain degree. And that was neat to us, you know, it's like, okay. And so there was a farmhouse. There is a horse barn. The horse barn, unfortunately, is kind of, you know, seen its better day. So that will probably be going its own way. But the parts of the house had seen its better day as well.
Yeah.
So we did take the part that was built in the 1970s when they put water and, you know, septic in. We took that part off. But then there was the part that was
ironically the part that saw better days was the part that was newer.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I thought that was very interesting.
The older part had, you know, a solid beam around it. We were able to, you know, at the foundation, it was put up on piers, and those piers had, you know, the termites had gotten to them and so forth. But so we ended up just picking up that older section of house and putting a new foundation underneath that, and then building on a new part
took out the old new part and put a new part.
That's exactly right. So all of that, well, most all of that is actually complete at this point. I still got a few trims, you know, to put in place and so forth, but this is the most finished a house has ever been that Chris and I have moved into together. I'll just say that. Nice. So yeah, it is nice in comparison. So yeah, that's where we're at. We have a certificate of occupancy, you know, to be able to, you know, reside there. And, you know, we've been able to move the chickens out, and our desire is to go. Cool. Yeah.
So they're out there now.
Yep. They're out there now. So we're not, you know, running back and forth feeding chickens in Southport, you know, F3 mornings and, you know, that kind of thing. So everything's out there.
Nice.
And so now, you know, our next phase is going to be, you know, kind of building on, you know, the storage sheds and so forth to be able to have a garage, if you will, to work out of, and then continue in this process. Our desire would be to, and we're, you know, currently praying about it, talking with a guy about digging a pond for us on the property. So the pond would, you know, provide a opportunity to have, you know, smaller, you know, like tiny home type dynamics, mobile tiny homes around this pond to be able to, you know, create an environment where couples can come, you know, some of them from families, you know, that kind of thing. And the pond can be a source of recreation from fishing to kayaking, you know, that kind of thing in this process that's on the property as we're doing life the way we see it, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where it goes. And then ultimately being able to, you know, probably our goal would be able to do, you know, a bigger venue, you know, where we can have, you know, marriage retreats. Because right now, you know, if we were to do a marriage retreat, it'd be pretty well limited to around a bonfire.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But ultimately, to be able to have places where couples can stay. And granted, you know, we have a couple of bedrooms in the part remodeled to where it may just kind of be individual type stuff at the beginning, you know. And but just kind of, I guess my prayer is basically that, you know, God would bring the people and the resources that we need. Cause I recognize this whole vision is bigger than we are. Yeah. And, you know, that God would bring the people and the resources at the times that we need them to be able to help us fulfill his vision, that he offers the provision for the vision.
Yeah.
As we're trying to walk it through from an obedience standpoint.
And so far it's been pretty cool provision wise. I mean, I know when you got the property, it was a certain thing.
Sure.
And then there was an opportunity to come to kind of make that a different thing by purchasing some more property. Isn't that where the pond would be now?
Yes, that would be where the pond would be. Yeah. There was a parcel that was landlocked.
Yeah.
Initially, there was a right of way that went through our property, which was concerning because it would come right through our front yard. But by God's grace, the individual that owned that piece of property came to us and said, "Hey, I'm looking to sell this. Would you be interested?" And, you know, through, through definitely some discussions between Chris and I, we have we agreed to purchase that piece of property in such a way that says, okay, yeah, this is where the pond can go, and you know, it did away with the right of way. Now we just have to get a way back to that, which we're talking with an individual about to be able to get access back to that area. But part of building that pond would be, you know, clearing that, the brush and everything else, and selling dirt and those kind of things. So,
yeah, it's just cool to, I mean, just thinking about this kind of retreat center that's kind of off, almost in the middle of nowhere, and you kind of have nature and all that. And then, you know, someone decides to put, you know, purchase that property that had the right of way and put a road right through your property. And, and then, you know, 100 home little subcommunity back there. It kind of hamper the vision of
no doubt
it would change the flavor. So I thought that was really cool that you guys were able to work that out and kind of solidify the vision and future a little bit more. So I looking at it from my perspective, kind of cool to see the progressions that it's taken, even you know, it's like watching you kind of tear down that first part and kind of the process there.
Helping.
Yeah.
You weren't just watching, you were helping.
That's right.
But
kind of seeing that the tear down part went pretty quick. And then, you know, you build them back up and fixing that foundation, just all the things you had to do. It's like, man, this seems like it's take forever. And now it's done.
I hear you.
You know, and it's that's kind of how time works. So it's kind of cool to see what's been accomplished so far towards that vision. And again, this extra acreage really, I feel like, solidifies some of that vision that you guys had even more, wouldn't you say, in the sense that...
Yeah, it's been neat to see how God's provided all along the way, you know, in that process for us. Because like you say, we're just normal people like everybody else, you know, but yet God cares about those things. And I, you know, Mark Batterson, I believe it is, he probably didn't originate saying, but you know, it's about, I lost it for a moment, but the, bold prayers honor God and God honors bold prayers, you know, and that's kind of what this whole process has been about, you know, that ability to recognize, okay, yeah, this is far bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that, you know, because, you know, God has that ability. And, you know, even the pond guy, you know, that was kind of a, you know, a friend of a friend, you know, a guy I contacted and, you know, it's just God's kind of going before us. He's, you know, a Christian individual, that kind of thing. And so, you know, we've had that conversation. Are you a Christian? It's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. He said, I can tell, you know, and it's like, okay, so this, you know, so yeah, that's just kind of God's going before us as I see it, as Chris sees it, you know, and just trying to walk in obedience. And it's not something, I guess, you know, it's another one of those things that basically, somebody spoke with me at the beginning, you know, it's like we tend to overestimate what we can do in a year, but we underestimate what can be done in 5 years. And, you know, as we're coming into year three, maybe four, I think it's year three, you know, to actually be there, you know, it's kind of cool. Granted, it's taken 3 years to get there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just it's becoming home to us, you know, that kind of thing. And just be able to.
Yeah, and being able to do that in 3 years while you're still doing counseling, you know, and construction on the side. Like, you guys got a lot going on. You and Chris do marriage and family, marriage on the Rock, which is a church ministry that you guys are pretty involved with. And you guys both are involved a lot with us at Celebrate Carpentry. Like, you know, so that 3 years is significant to me looking at it based on just all the things that you also were accomplishing in that time. So it's kind of cool to see, see that, but
it's nice to have people on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Cause they'll come in and they'll say, oh my goodness, look at what all you've done, you know, cause they just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And it really does offer encouragement, you know, to Chris and I in that process. It's like, is this ever going to get done? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing when you're, you know, you're just grinding away at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's so often, it's so neat and refreshing to have other people that come in and say, oh, when I was here last, this was just blah, 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 you know, and now to be able to see.
But now you're anchored in the sense that you're living there. And that's a huge milestone. Of course, I totally empathize with what you're saying about the next step is now I got to have some place to work out of to even build these things. And so that's kind of the next step is being able to work out of something. And a horse barn is more likely to fall on you than anything.
So
can't be that.
Exactly.
I would say selfishly motivated. No, not selfish. I'm just excited about you guys. So I want to talk about it because I think it's a cool endeavor and I'm 100% on board in whatever way I want, everyone to be aware of it. And eventually that's going to be a key component to this thing being successful is, publicity and communication and marketing and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We're a bit out from that. There's no place to go yet. There's nothing, it's not built yet. But I think it's cool to kind of talk about that vision.
And I appreciate that, like you say, in that process, because it's not something I would routinely talk about with people, and it's good to be able, when Chris and I, talk about it, we talk about it with other people, it is fun to be able to do that in such a way that helps us solidify, that process or even, amend, certain ideas. But, so each conversation is definitely beneficial.
Yeah.
But it's just neat to see how,
Well, it's cool too because you guys have this vision, this idea, but you're also holding it pretty loosely in a sense of saying like, let's figure out what it's going to be while determining what it's going to be. Kind of like have this flexibility. So some of the vision and desire, like even the educational piece, like that may or may not be a big component. I think it's kind of cool to hear that at some point. Obviously, the focus will have to be very specific and you'll know exactly which the marriage retreat is probably the highest thing to be able to have little, use a tiny homes, but me and Megan, we've gone to these little tiny home, village sounds wrong, but it's like this kind of circle around, a little pond. And it's like all these little tiny homes.
Sure.
And that's just such a unique, fun little thing to do. We enjoy that way better than going to a hotel or something just to get away. And so just like that, having something like that, even the beginnings of one, maybe there's just one tiny home that, you can start to.
It might even be a part of our tiny home.
That's right.
But
it's really cool to see that, and I'm excited about seeing that. But ultimately, that vision will have to get tighter and tighter the closer you get to execution on it.
And I think we're seeing that as we're praying on it, that kind of thing, and and doors are opening, But I think, so often, and I think it's more intentional probably even on Chris's part, is the aspect of, it's not about doing something someday.
Yeah.
It's about continuing in the little things that God's given us right now, today. To the point of, Chris's, desires to routinely be, connecting with one or more couple, every week, in some way that's basically, connecting in some way to share or, invite people out or, intentionally connecting. And I'm all about that as well, but just building those relationships. 'Cause there's something about, sitting around a circle as we talked about before, but, especially if there can be a bonfire in the middle of that circle.
That's the perfect circle.
So that's kind of what we're doing in the, our desire. So,
I imagine some of the earliest circles were around a bonfire.
There you go. Well, we know that Jesus built that little charcoal fire and they ate breakfast over it, when he restored Peter, that kind of thing,
Yeah.
And it was just, I appreciate the opportunity to kind of share
It's cool. You mentioned Chris and she's kind of actively thinking about today where I think part of that balance is your job is nose to the grindstone. Every day, it like this building this house, it's going to be 3 years. And so that's what I'm about. And I'm going to let you take care of the visioning while I take care of the, putting that nail in or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of seeing that combination of you two. And, is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, there's just no way I could do this without Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's just, we are that different.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, each part is so valuable. And just like you say, we can laugh one another, you know, at our differences to a certain degree when, you know, it's like, well, what about this? And what about this? And it's like, yeah, we'll get to that. We're just going to do this. But I appreciate you bringing these other things up too, because I hadn't maybe thought about that part, right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah. How important that partnership is, in the sense of her forcing your head up once in a while to look at where you're walking, you know, heading. Yeah. Is it heading where we're heading?
Yeah.
And if not, let's adjust course. And you to go, I don't want to pick my head up. I got to get this nail put in. But going, oh, you're right. I do need to shift a little bit. And like seeing that, that's really cool.
Yeah. And it's been fun, you know, because even, and I'm excited in the process of actually being out there, you know, because it is a fulfillment.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And yet, you know,
milestone.
And I remember, you know, like last year we, you know, did more with the garden, you know, but it just not being there is just so tough to maintain a garden. Well,
the scale of a garden you guys chose to build too is like, I can imagine not being there to kind of babysit it would be quite a challenge. I mean, it'd be one thing if you had this little corner.
No, I hear you there. So yeah, that's where we're at.
That's exciting.
In that process. So
once again, we'll definitely do a part two.
Yeah, we gotta bring Chris in.
Out here, because I would love her to correct all the things we said wrong.
Yep, I would too.
And get her vision and her heart into it. Because again, to me, I guess why I said selfishly motivated is I really want you guys. I want the vision to continue to grow and be heard by more people and eventually for people to have an opportunity to partner into it, you know,
and, I hear you.
Obviously there's opportunity right now in the sense that you can go hang out with Mark and Chris around a bonfire and, or help them tear down a horse barn or, you know, a guy who knows a guy who can help with a pond or whatever, those there's definitely ways to contribute. So I think even that's a win, but
just even in the relationship,
but even kind of setting up, potential future opportunities for partnering, I think is cool.
And that's where you come into play, Justin. That's right. You're one of those people that
I'm trying to do my part.
I know. I see it. Yeah, I see it. That's part of who you are. And you know, where, like you say, at this point, I probably wouldn't even necessarily have had the conversation.
That's right. I forced it out of you. Well, so just to tip our hand a little bit, part of that is we have some potential guests, right?
Yeah,
that
we do.
Kind of fall into this homesteading side of things. And I thought, you know, it'd be really interesting to kind of set up.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, why some of these things matter to us. Even Mary Beth and Mary Ellen, like some of those conversations, you can see how it kind of connects now and can kind of start connecting the dots. And I think that's cool. And I wouldn't mind if how I see it becomes Sparrow's Rest focused at some point like that. That would be cool. Looks like. But
And it was just an FYI. One of the conferences you mentioned, we did attend with Jeff and Mary Beth.
Nice.
You know, to where they have since moved from this area and they have their own little farmette, you know, out to Where's your Kelly and it's a two-part name and has a college named after it.
Yep, correct. And there's a hospital, Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, they live outside of Wake. They live in a little town called Walnut Cove, not Walnut Grove, but it makes me think of a little house on a prairie type thing. But so they're doing well there. We attended a conference with them, and she's doing well, and
awesome.
Awesome. So fun to be.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. I know again, this isn't naturally what you would at this stage, that's something that you would want to present. But I appreciate your
and I agree with you in that process of there's probably going to be some conversations that won't necessarily seem, or some topics that won't necessarily seem so far out there,
right?
If you understand a little more context. Of the context. So thank you for the opportunity, Justin, as always.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said dot click, as in dot C-L-I-C-K. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.